Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Reasonable world where Notre Dame is 0-2 to start the year, losing to Miami and losing to Texas A&M. That is not out of the realm of possibility. And then, you know, the one thing that my Notre Dame friends have told me about is, like, who's going to step up from a leadership standpoint? Like, yeah, leadership can be overrated. And Marcus Freeman obviously has kind of come into his own. And you look at some of the coaching rankings, and he's now top five because of the run they had last year. And I don't disagree with it. And do I think Notre Dame will start 0-2? I don't. But is it crazy to say that DJ Carr or Kenny Minchie or one? I mean, if you're reading the reports at a camp, no one has separated themselves. And, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how it ultimately plays, because when you think back to his best year as an offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, that is, down at LSU, Jeffrey, it's with Jaden Daniels. Now, I'm not trying to compare, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL to Kenny Minchie, but historically speaking, mobile quarterbacks under Mike Denbrock are the guys that thrive a little bit more. But everyone just assumes, including myself, that CJ Carr is going to be the guy because he's this prototypical pocket passer, high four-star recruit. But, like, could Kenny Minchie be more just a better fit for that system? It's certainly possible. But could you have a situation where Notre Dame falls on their face because of their quarterback play week one against Miami, a loaded defensive front? Yeah, it's certainly possible. So I think Notre Dame, you know, is a really interesting team this year because they have a ton of talent and they're so much deeper than they've been, you know, honestly, dude, since like the early 90s, like everywhere they go. We talked about this over the summer, right? Notre Dame did a really nice job of retention, especially at the running back position. Like, they kept all three of their running backs. You would have thought at least one would leave, and none of them left. So they have a ton of talent, but the biggest position, and that's why I go back to this, and we've talked about this a lot. That's why I think this year is going to be amazing, because let's look at the top 25. And if we say that Arch Manning is unknown, you look at the top eight teams in the country, and you could say six of the top eight have unknowns at quarterback. And then if you look at the back end of the top 25, you could say 19 in Indiana has a known commodity in Fernando Mendoza, 20 in Avery Johnson in Kansas State, not known, but I think you can potentially trust that. You know, Marcel Reed, who knows, at 21, but then you've got a Rocco Beck at Iowa State. You've got Maddox Madsen at Boise State. Like, I think this year, man, is going to be so intriguing, because if a team like Ohio State and Julian Sain hits, they can win the national championship. Same goes for Oregon with Dante Moore. I think Alabama is the most fascinating team in the country this year, in my opinion, because I think their roster might be the most loaded roster in the country outside of the quarterback position. What if Ty Simpson's the dude under a guy like Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer? I think they could win the national championship. So that's why I love this year, man. I'm so excited for it. because I think there's going to be a team or two that could be a potential dud, not full on Florida State 2-10 dud, but I think there's a chance that someone could be a dud this year with the quarterback position. And then, you know, what do we make of, I think 11 through 13 is pretty polarizing. Arizona State, they lose Scadaboo. Illinois, Bert Bielema's out there talking his talk. And then South Carolina with Lenora Sellers, preseason, first team all SEC. Like, is this dude going to live up to that hype after last year? So I think 11 through 13 is more, is almost as interesting as the top 10 this year.
Well, I was actually thinking about it this way. I can envision a world where Ohio State and Penn State largely control the Big Ten. I can envision a world where Texas and Georgia largely control the SEC. And then trying to sort it out from there, like, I think this could be an absolute mess.
I mean, you look at the SEC, Bama, LSU, South Carolina. I mean, it does feel like maybe they're talking about it more in your neck of the woods, but like nationally, Ole Miss is not getting the hype that they got a year ago. So maybe that's a good thing for Lane and company. Tennessee, I have no idea what to expect from Tennessee this year. I kind of feel like they're going to be underwhelming. Like, are they on upset alert week one? I don't think so against Syracuse. They're a 2-touchdown favorite, but like, could that be an annoying game? It's certainly possible. And then I think Texas A&M, man, I haven't sold my Elko stock. I just, you know, there's a lot of differing opinions on Marcel Reed. Is he going to be the guy? You know, they bring in Colin Klein. And another kind of situation where did we sell our stock too early on a Colin Klein? Kind of like with Avery Johnson at Kansas State. So, yeah, I think it's like Texas A&M. You know, what about DJ Lagway? If he's healthy, is he a top three quarterback in college football this year? I think it's possible.
Oh, I mean, that, to me, it's like separating that. And like South Carolina and Ole Miss and Florida all play each other. Tennessee's going to play Florida. Like, you know, like, that's the thing. It's like, I can just see where this is. I can see where the SEC, this is my potential, like, future annoyance. I could see another situation this fall where we're going to be having to listen to, like, 9-3 SEC teams should be in.
Well, and who's not in that top 25? That's been a big talk this offseason. Oklahoma.
Yes.
Right?
The first portal. And Missouri's got an awesome schedule.
Yeah. I mean, Missouri, again, won the schedule lottery in the SEC. What, they don't leave the state of Missouri until, like, the middle of October? Like, their schedule shapes up beautifully for them. Oklahoma's schedule is daunting, and obviously, week two, we're going to learn a lot about who Oklahoma is when Michigan comes to town. And I'll say this, man, I think we've hit on every team in the top 25, but, like, Michigan ended the season outside of Ohio State and Notre Dame. Did any team end the season better than Michigan?
No, and like literally
Ohio State.
Literally, all they have to do is get average quarterback play, and they're a better team.
Right. So, like, okay, now we're looking at a defense that we know is going to be nasty in year two under Wink Martindale, and you've got Bryce Underwood, this all-world $10 million+ quarterback coming in. And the bar for him to clear is, like, not be awful.
Just don't be, like, Davis Warren.
Right. Like, don't be Alex Orji and incapable of completing a forward pass. And this is a program, and I know there were some defections to the NFL, et cetera, but, like, they beat Ohio State. Say what you will about that game. Ohio State, in their run to the national championship, Jeffrey, look like an all-time champion.
Yes.
All-time champion. And they beat them on their home floor, on their home court field, excuse me, as a 21-point underdog?
Yeah, and like on the game that they had circled, like, this is our time to, like, exercise the demons.
Right. We have to beat this. We can't lose to Michigan again. And Michigan went in there and took it to them. And then they beat an Alabama team, and I know it's a bowl game. You're telling me that Kalen DeBoer with a, what, third-round pick quarterback,
well,
Jalen Milroe,
and Alabama mostly had their guys playing the game.
And Michigan didn't.
Yes.
I mean, that line closed at like 14 or something like that, and they beat them. So, like, I kind of feel like Michigan, like, are they being slept on a little bit? Number 14, like, once again, if they have serviceable quarterback play, how good could they be? I think they could be pretty darn good. So, yeah, man, I think there's a bunch of teams. Like, I mean, Michigan, will know a lot about Michigan by the end of September because they go to Oklahoma and to Nebraska. And if they're 4-0, it's like, whoa, okay, giddy up. But they could be 2-2 because those are – they're going to be – I think the look-ahead line at one shop in Vegas had Michigan maybe minus one. That's going to be a pick'em game at Nebraska. They're an underdog at Oklahoma. But there's a chance they're 4-0, and you're like, oh, this team is the real deal going into a bye week before playing Wisconsin at home. Or they're 2-2, and it's like, all right, you know, maybe they're just okay. But, yeah, I think Michigan's a team that I don't know if enough people are talking about because last year was just so ugly to watch.
All right, Tim, safe travels the rest of the way, my man. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
All right, see you, buddy.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. When we come back, we get into the list. Let's do it next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called the list. Let's fire it up. The Boston Celtics. All right, we just got this news from Sham Sharania that the Boston Celtics are trading George Niang and two future second-round picks to the Utah Jazz for rookie R.J. Lewis Jr., sources tell ESPN. According to Shams, Niang returns to Utah now, and his salary goes into the massive John Collins trade exception, along with two draft assets. The move allows the Celtics, the move allows the Celtics to have more salary relief below the second apron. So, the obvious questions at first, your Niang was on a guaranteed contract, so you're sending Niang out. You're bringing...
Not a big one, mind you. Nothing crazy.
So, my first thought is they were just trying to get a two-way in to not play the full roster spot.
But they already have two two-ways signed. I know you get three, but they already have two of those slots filled out.
Were they going to convert maybe one to a...
I mean, their two-ways are Miles Norris and Max Scholga. So, do with that information what you will.
I mean, it's obviously a financial move first and foremost, trying to get under the second apron. They've been pretty clear. They've been very clear about that.
Easily.
100%. It doesn't imply to me that, oh, they're going to go and try and sign somebody, but maybe they were trying to create one more open roster spot so that either they could trade for someone else or that they could, like, they wanted, it seems to me that the other process was they wanted Niang's full roster spot,
yes,
open. Why? Like, they wanted it so open that they're willing to spend 2 seconds. Again, I'm not someone that fixates on 2 seconds, but
no, it's nothing. It isn't much. Niang going the other way, I don't know how much he would have really helped that team this year. That team kind of doesn't have its engine for next season, at the very least.
No, but they are fascinating to me of how competitive are they trying to be?
I really don't know because, I mean, if you look at it, they don't have any bigs.
No, I mean, they're bringing Horford back one more time, right?
Are they? He isn't signed, as far as I know.
Is that maybe, are they trying to create a little bit of space so they can pay him and that would be the roster spot?
Maybe, but even then, okay, think about that. Okay, if their starting five is Al Horford at the five, right? He's going to be 40. He already isn't exactly a guy who's going to eat up minutes. He averaged what? Probably 25 minutes last year, give or take.
Yeah, I mean, they're always that weird thing because of when Porzingis had the weird mystery injury or illness.
Yeah.
Sorry, not injury. His minutes ticked up, but like when he was playing, you weren't thinking like, okay, they've figured it out.
No, he wasn't great. I mean, he was fine. Like he's been a sharp
39.
Shooter. Exactly. He still shoots threes at a high clip, defends well enough. But look what they have beyond him. They've got Xavier Tillman and Luka Garza, and that's kind of it.
Because Cornett went to the Spurs, right?
Yep. Cornett was the one last year filling in a lot of those big minutes, and he played pretty damn well.
Horford averaged 31 minutes in the postseason. Let's see. Regular season, he gave him 42 starts in 60 games at 27-7.
Yep.
I mean,
just a tick around that 25 mark.
I guess they're just.
And he's not speeding up.
Well, I mean, I think the reality is they're somewhat punting on next year. But I mean, I guess you could make the argument if they hang around in the East enough. And while, yes, the East is going to be more competitive, there's still, you've got Brown and White.
Yep. Anthony Simons coming in. Peyton Pritchard.
So maybe you're trying
to take a bigger role.
Maybe you're trying to get into the playoffs, and that you hope that Tatum, if the Achilles has been a 9-month surgery, which still is insane to me, but it seems like that's what guys have started to come back after 9 months.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to say, hey, can we just
get a spot in the playoffs
and give it a run from there.
But to me, that's assuming a lot of things. That's assuming no one else gets hurt, because it's a thin lineup, a thin roster. To me, that's assuming no one else gets hurt, assuming a handful of the other teams in the East don't improve enough to really kind of outpace the injuries to Boston, and in this case, also Indiana. And then we also assume that a team like Milwaukee, who made some real adds this summer.
Well, and then there's the weird talk over the weekend more of Giannis isn't going to re-sign, and it's like,
but he's under contract for next year, so he's probably going to play it out. You know what I mean? Like, there was a bit of that chatter. I don't see anything.
I also
really
never know
from it.
I never know what to make of Giannis's leaving chatter. Because
yeah,
it felt like everyone acted like it was a certainty this offseason, and
then it kind of, well, that, and the funny thing with that is that it's not like he came out and said, oh, I'm not leaving. It kind of just fizzled. Like, it kind of just went away.
Well, and then, you know, I think I saw Nick Wright that was saying, hey, LeBron opts in for one more year. They re-sign Luka this weekend.
Yep.
And they figure out a way to get Giannis. Like, that's the other thing. I never know what to make of, like, Laker fantasy booking.
That's always something. I mean, yeah, that's always something we deal with, but sometimes it just happens. AKA, they got Luka for Anthony Davis and nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
like, any team, if any team in the league came to, you know, like, hey, you can get this for, like, an aging star and pretty much nothing else. All you have to do is give them the max contract after this year. Every other team would do that as well. Every single one.
I guess the simple explanation for what the Celtics are doing is don't overthink it.
It's probably just a salary.
They just want to get under the second apron, and they were figuring out ways to do that.
I think after dumping Tingus Pingus, they might have already been under the second apron. I think this just gives them $8.2 million worth of extra space.
And then maybe you try to bring back Horford.
Maybe. I don't know what contract he was on last season. Probably wasn't very much.
Would they have, at that point, though, would they have a...
They'd have 10.
But they can't have a room exception, right?
No.
Because they were a taxpayer.
They have no exceptions. So before Niang moves, they are 9.9 over the first apron and 1.9 under the second. This gives them an extra 8.2. So that gives them about 10 to work with. I don't expect Horford to take all of that and push them into the second apron, do you?
I mean, I just wonder, are they trying to get, like, up to... Because he has to... He has so many service years, right? They have to give him, was it $4 million maybe?
I think that's the vet man.
Maybe, I mean, that
something
me,
like that. I mean, if he takes that, I mean, he's that'd probably be the biggest contract he gets.
Has Keith Smart written anything? I feel like nobody knows.
Oh, better than him. I don't know, has he?
Let me look.
I feel like when it comes to the Celtics and their salary cap structure, no one knows more than Keith Smart.
Let me look.
I don't know. That was also... This is also the other thing of, like, when Shams will package news that normally would just fly on a, like, a transaction wire and packages it as news, it's like, all right, now I'm trying to sort through whether or not this is anything meaningful.
I haven't seen anything.
All right, my guess is not really.
Yeah.
All right, Arch Manning. Okay, over at ESPN.com, Bill Connolly has released the 40 most important players in college football in 2025. Number one is indeed Arch Manning, and he starts it with new starting quarterbacks for likely contenders. I honestly believe even if you took away the last name Manning, the number one quarterback finally having the path cleared for him on a team that is built to win a national champion. Maybe he is not number one, but he is certainly in the top tier of most interesting players. And I think that it's fair to say that's exactly the case, because number two and number three, Gunnar Stockton,
yep,
and Ty Simpson.
Hmm.
Number four is CJ Carr. We just spoke about CJ with Tim just a moment ago. Five is also Dante Moore. Six is Julian Sain. So I honestly think Arch is the most interesting player in college football with the name, but then there's also this idea of, okay, you have this team that's ready to win with an offensive-minded coach that's been able to scheme it up. It's like the sky is the limit. And then the other ones are interesting to me, because I think if they hit at that spot, like, to me, that's the whole thing about this list. If every single one of these guys is a hit, and they don't even have to be the best player in college football, but if they're just good, solid, productive quarterbacks,
you're going to have a great season.
All these teams are elite.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, so then he puts quarterbacks with potential game-changing leap in them. At number seven, he includes Drew Aller.
Yeah, I was waiting for him.
Eight is Cade Klubnik. Nine is Garrett Nussmeier.
Mm-hmm.
10 is Carson Beck.
I think that's kind of the class that I don't want to say a lot of people are forgetting or overlooking, but only because they've kind of stayed with their program or like had to make a move, which the Beck one is still kind of interesting to me, but they're veterans. Like, we know they're a known quantity, but they also should still be elevating the program around them.
What is also interesting to me is, of the top 10 most important players, one is a transfer.
Is that Carson Beck?
That is Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Arch was retained.
Mm-hmm.
Gunnar Stockton, retained. Ty Simpson. You mean Sain?
No, not Julian Sain.
So
he was already there.
Well, so Dante transferred from UCLA to Oregon last year.
Oh, he and then, just redshirted.
Well, or back play up, whatever. Or,
yeah.
So
yeah.
They had the opportunity to go get in the portal, and they
but they didn't. They said, chose this is our guy.
They chose to stick with Dante Moore.
Gotcha. I was like, I could have sworn I remember him transferring, but that must have been last summer. You're right.
And then Sain was a freshman that they kept.
Yes.
Aller, obviously, is a returning starter. Cade, returning starter.
Mm-hmm.
Nussmeier, returning starter. Beck, guy that started a lot, but he's the only transfer in the list.
Yeah.
And then we go to young, inexperienced new quarterbacks with both spoiler and contender potential. Number 11, Lenora Sellers.
Yep.
Number 12, DJ Lagway. Number 13, John Mateer. Number 14, Marcel Reed. Number 15, Austin Simmons. This is
a whole lot of SEC quarterbacks right there.
This can be defined as who is the SEC team from this midfield pack that could actually put it together?
Real quick, just because we were just talking about it, we figured out now what the Celtics were doing.
Which is?
They just signed Chris Boucher to a one-year, $3.3 million deal per Shams Charania.
There you go.
There's your front court guy. Out of all those guys, who could put it together? I know of a handful of guys here at the station have a lot of Austin Simmons stock. You and I have talked a lot about John Mateer and the potential there at Oklahoma and, you know, with them bringing his offensive coordinator over from Washington State and just his general talent. Before, like, 2 weeks ago, I would have said DJ Lagway just because I'm really impressed by what he was able to do last year and just the full potential and package. But now we're dealing with two injuries that we kind of don't know much of anything about because they're not telling us anything.
He did return to practice today, but I don't know. The entire
off-season
right? injuries, it's odd. The question is it overly protective? Is it playing with the media? Like, it's like, why is the question?
Yeah. Like, it, or... is it a lot more serious than we're even able to really kind of see because we're not getting told much?
So what Bill wrote about this segment is, it was a jarring and repetitive theme in my SEC previews. Quote, if insert quarterback here is awesome, insert mid-level contender becomes a serious contender for the CFP bid.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair.
He also wrote, these aren't just five interesting quarterbacks. All five aspire to make plays, and that comes with risk. The national average for yards per completion last season was 12.1. All five of these quarterbacks averaged at least 12.7, and Mateer, 14.0 at Washington State, and Simmons, 14.8 in the smallest sample of the bunch, and Lagway averaged 16.7 by far. So guys that take big shots.
Yeah.
Simmons is...
I think they, this is kind of where I'm going with this because I'm thinking of all these guys and I think they're all able to do that in different ways. And I think that's kind of what makes it so interesting in that you look at DJ Lagway, massive arm, like can just air that thing out, get to just about anywhere on the field. Sellers is a freak elite athlete, can do it with both his legs, can, you know, has shown a strong enough arm. Mateer, we're going to see against an SEC defense for the first time this year. We'll see how he reads and reacts, but that's kind of what he was doing there at Washington State. And then Simmons, it's the same type of deal. We don't know quite yet, but from what I've seen, it's not like he's going to be moving outside the pocket much. He seems like a pocket passer who is strong and accurate.
So this is a number that kind of explains why I don't love Sellers as much as everyone else does.
Yeah.
The national average for sacks per pressure was 17.8. Austin was sacked at 25%. Also, as we pointed out, that is
he played like eight snaps.
A very, very,
yeah.
It was like one meaningful drive.
It literally.
Sellers is 25.6. Mateer is 28.4.
Really?
Yeah. Mateer loves to hold on to the ball.
I mean,
loves to hold on to the ball.
Then again, Wazoo's line.
Well, national average for designed run rate was 10.6. Sellers is at 18.5. Mateer was 18.9.
Yeah. Which to me, a lot of the times those designed runs are to help mitigate bad line play. Because it's not like South Carolina's was great last year either.
All right. Now we get to the non-quarterback division. Potential stars in need of a breakthrough. At 16, he puts either Antonio Williams, Bryant Wesco, or TJ Moore, a.k.a. Clemson receivers.
Yeah. Whichever one's going to get the most targets, pretty much.
Which, it is funny how, like, Clemson has gone from kind of like mini LSU and like, all right, I just kind of trust their receivers are going to be pretty good, to now it's like, who are they? Dennis Smith at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Perkins Jr. at LSU.
Yes. We both talked injury last year.
Yep.
Big time. If he comes back healthy, we know what he can do.
Correct. Also,
to me, that's not like a needs to really make a huge breakout step forward as much as it is a return to form.
Yeah, or a return to how they utilized him his freshman year. His freshman year, they basically just told him, like, get after the passer.
Hey, buddy, just go. That's true.
And then there's his sophomore year, they tried to play him inside at linebacker. That didn't work, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
The most important non-quarterback transfers, Mekhi Hughes at Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Zachariah Branch now at Georgia, Dylan Thinneman, who's now at Oregon. He also included Nick Anderson at LSU, Malachi Fields and or Will Pauling at Notre Dame, Will Helt at Clemson, Elio Madozzi at Georgia, Isaiah Ward or Emmanuel Pregnon at Oregon.
A lot of Oregon names on there.
They were pretty active.
They, yeah.
The grizzled old spoiler QBs, Diego Pavia and Haynes King.
No surprise there. That's about right.
Pure transcendence potential, Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs. He also includes Ryan Williams. I don't know if these guys are necessarily like, I feel like they're all pretty darn good at that point.
Yeah,
like,
I was about to say.
I'm not sure transcendent you have to get.
Yeah, how much more do you need out of these guys?
All right, let's go to the National Football League. All right, so now we've got some news from the NFL. Couple of stories. First, we'll start with the discipline angle because the NFL has announced that they've suspended Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison for the first three games of the 2025 season for violating the league's substance of abuse policy. Addison will now miss games at Chicago versus the Falcons and versus the Bengals. According to Adam Schefter, Jordan Addison will be permitted to participate in all of training camp activities, including preseason games, without restriction. I mean, a division game?
Yeah.
Falcons are trying to be good.
They are.
And I would think with the Bengals, I'd want all my receivers.
You're going to need to put up some points. That is for sure.
I think I would want to go into that. Also, we have learned from Mary Kay Cabot, who does a great job covering the Browns, that Shedeur Sanders is expected to start the Cleveland preseason opener against the Panthers. The other news from Cleveland is that they have now also signed Tyler Huntley. That means that they will now have officially signed five quarterbacks in camp.
They signed both of their draft picks, didn't they?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, I assume someone's getting moved out.
You have to, but who? Because Pickett is hurt. Gabriel is hurt.
I don't know. I mean,
we don't know what Shedeur is. I mean, also keep in mind, be respectful. That's former Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley.
That's true. A Pro Bowler indeed.
And then you've got Joey Flacco.
And right now it seems like it's trending to starting Flacco. I think what their original plan was, they wanted to roll with Pickett and then hope that if somebody got hurt, Flacco could be used as a little bit of trade bait.
Yeah, a little.
Like, who needs a quarterback?
Is that not Kirk Cousins, though, right now?
Well,
I understand the contract. I know, but
I'm also just wondering, what if the Falcons are just holding on? Like, hey.
What happens if Penix isn't great?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the reverse insurance policy of why you drafted Penix.
Exactly.
Like,
you gave him all this money.
We've already paid him.
He's going to be better than last year. Last year was year one off of Achilles. We know how that goes. He should be better next year or this coming season.
Also, Teddy Bridgewater back. He signs with the Bucs after Michael Pratt got hurt. So now their quarterback room is still
Baker,
Trask, and now Teddy Bridgewater.
I wonder if that's just to also try and stay in Florida with his high school team.
Close enough. Well, he's suspended for coaching the high school team.
He said he'd do it for free.
But he's suspended.
We'll see.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Hard Knocks returns tonight. We'll discuss what we're looking forward to with that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, George. Kev Maharzurjan, yes, also writes that in addition to the Jordan Addison suspension, currently the weapons for J.J. McCarthy are Justin Jefferson, who is nursing a hamstring, and T.J. Hockenson, who's nursing a groin.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now,
those
other two are a long way from week one.
Yeah, those other two, they've got some time. They'll, you know, they'll rehab, they'll do their thing. But not great.
Nothing.
I thought the Vikings had someone else who at least played pretty well last year. There was someone on their team who had just an absolute like 3 or 4 week straight up.
Sam Darnold?
Heater. No, he at least had like 6 to 8 weeks. It was a receiver they had who just went absolutely crazy for a spell last year.
Who was their third receiver?
I'm trying to check now. It was Jalen Naylor. Yeah. There was like a week or two there where Naylor was just incredible. They also picked up, when did they pick up Rondale Moore? Good for him.
Staying in the league. All right, so we have training camps, which means tonight over at HBO, we've got the season premiere of this year's Hard Knocks. And I don't know how you feel about it. It is one of those markers of time that just kind of, it'll be good to see football on the screen. The music, obviously, with NFL films is always great. Liv Schreiber's voice is perfect.
The best.
The biggest problem that I have had, though, with Hard Knocks is as the teams have so clearly taken control of what can and cannot be shown, it starts to get less interesting. How you can get around it, though, is characters. So,
yeah,
not to bring up bad memories, but I actually think the Jets Hard Knocks of the last 5 or 6 years is one of the better ones simply because the world, according to Aaron Rodgers, was interesting. I'm not saying you had to agree with it, but yeah. it was something that you at least wanted to watch.
There was that. I mean, you've got some characters on the defensive line and offensive line. You almost always do. They're always up to something. And that brings me to Buffalo. I think we're going to get more of those characters this year. I mean, Dawkins is awesome. He's always being crazy. Josh Allen.
The question will be how much goofy does everybody want to reveal? So the problem is, like, with the Jets, where it actually kind of worked is that Sauce and Wilson in particular were young guys, and you could tell me that their agent said, get out there.
Yeah. Talk your talk. Do your thing. Be on camera.
Well, we're going to get you some marketing deals.
Exactly.
And I think, actually, in addition to the removal of quality access, like showing of the actual practices, like now we can't even apparently show a guy getting cut anymore. I mean, used to be one of the best scenes was
Fisher with his toes out, cutting someone.
It was just like bring in your playbook.
Yeah.
And now it's like we just don't even show any of it. And all of this largely, though, gets back to my second annoyance with what we have in our sports watching culture today, which is everything just becomes a marketing opportunity.
Yeah. So, but for entertainment, as we just talked about with Garrett Wilson and Sauce with the Jets, don't be surprised if we get a pretty fair dose of Keon Coleman.
I was definitely thinking we'll get some Keon Coleman.
I am very happy with. He's a character. He's great.
I'll be curious to know how much Josh acts, because like when we had the Lions, was the Lions 2 years ago?
Was it 2 years ago? I thought the Jets were 2 years ago.
Goff had obviously done a previous season of Hard Knocks. I can't remember if it was with the Rams.
I believe it was. Well, it had to have been with the Rams.
Yeah, but I can't remember if it was
L.A. or St. Louis.
No, he did. They did the one Hard Knocks year, like the split Rams and Chargers one.
Oh,
was
that's
that like
right.
The first one right after COVID or something. That one was largely forgettable.
Yeah, wasn't great.
Was it the Lions last year?
I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was. Wait,
because Rodgers was only with the Jets twice.
Yes.
So the first year was Rodgers.
Yes.
So it had to be the Lions last year.
2 years ago was the Jets because it was right after Hard Knocks and he goes out and gets hurt.
Correct.
2 years ago. Last year, who was the preseason? Because remember, in that offseason,
I only count preseason. I've actually been told in-season Hard Knocks is better for the reasons that we're talking about.
Because you're getting game film footage.
They
and
can
all
at
that.
Least, like, now yeah. they won't get, like, the team film and whatnot, but they get more game footage and that creates.
And you can cut it up and make it look
correct.
Some kind of way. But don't forget in there was your Giants one slipped in there somewhere.
That was an off season, not
yes,
in season.
No, I know.
So the off season was the Giants because that's where the
Joe Shane looks like a boob.
Correct. Then
I think it was the Lions, was it not?
I think it was the Lions because we got all the Dan Campbell.
Yes.
And so I don't know. My whole deal is I think the character stuff can only be interesting for so long. Like that's my biggest complaint is part of what I used to love about it was the actual football of it.
Yeah.
Watching guys make the team. Like all that was fascinating to me. The meeting rooms and whatnot. Now it's just so sanitized and they're just showing you exactly what they're willing to show you. And that's what I think has actually hurt it more than some people are just like, well, just eventually it was going to get spoiled and stale. It's like, no, training camp would be interesting if they could present it the same way they used to be able to present it. They can't.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, at the very least for this year, I think we're going to get a pretty decent enough season, I think. I mean, I feel like there's been enough going on with Buffalo, right?
Yeah, but it always comes down to, like, how much is Josh willing to share?
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty... They use him a lot for their socials, obviously, and he seems pretty open to doing a lot of it.
But, like, you know, historically, one of the great first scenes of Hard Knocks is, all right, who's the quarterback's hot wife or girlfriend? Like, Haley Steinfeld is notoriously, like, not seeking the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, how much are they going to want to do that?
Knowing her, probably not much, but it wouldn't shock me if Josh for other things is on there. When was the whole Stephon Diggs thing? Is that going to get brought up, do you think, like, at all?
I bet not.
I would think probably not.
Because last year, the team drama was... how much are they going to pay attention to James Cook?
Well, with him starting to hold...
That's what I'm saying, the hold-in.
With him starting to hold... Well, the first part wasn't a hold-in. He was actually practicing. Now he's holding in starting on, like, Sunday.
And so I assume the next step is we're getting a trade request.
Yeah.
And they'll figure out a deal before week one.
Probably.
Or will he just get franchised?
I thought they already used their franchise.
That's probably right. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, George, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. This is according to Mike Garofalo over at, I guess, the artist formerly known, or the artist still currently known for a little bit, as the NFL Network. George Kittle just crashed our set to break the news that the NFL banned smelling salts and ammonia packets today. Says he uses them every drive. Quote, I considered retirement. We have to figure out a middle ground. I find it hard to believe that they're actually, like, I think what they're doing is they're doing the thing, like, they're making it seem like we're banning them from getting caught on camera.
Maybe, but, like, I don't know. As someone who has not had the experience.
They're quite pungent.
I'm sure, but why ban them?
I think it's mainly just like an image thing of like, I mean, obviously it's probably not great for you just to snuff pure like
ammonia. Yeah, but
I think it's definitely, it's like, you know, someone on Twitter probably said it was bad. And so the NFL's making it seem like that they care when in reality they don't. It's really just,
it'll just end up like the rosin bag and it'll just be something else that looks kind of like it.
There we go.
Yep.
All right, I want to thank Tim Murray for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk create in Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.